We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the fifth chapter, the third Mishnah. Asara dorot, minoach ve'ad Avraham. We have 10 generations from Noach to Avraham. Lodia kamer chapaim lefanav. This also teaches us how much patience Hashem has, just like the previous Mishnah that said, from Adam to Noach, we had 10 generations. And that is indicative of Hashem's patience, that even though for 10 generations things were going bad in the world, Hashem waited until Noach came around and brought the flood. Again, after Noach, we again have 10 generations where Hashem is very patient. All the generations from Noach onward were upsetting. Till Avraham Avinu came and he gave legitimacy to the world. So he gets the wages for everyone. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, V'amru Rabotenu, K'shemet Noach, Haya Avraham Avinu ben 58 shanim. Our sages say, when Noach passed away, Avram was already 58 years old. Even so, when you count the genealogy, you'll see there were 10 generations between them. Even though Noach had longevity, it's still considered 10 generations. His descendants, in his descendants, there was an overlap between Noach and the next 10 generations. But it's still 10 generations. The Mishnah is different than its predecessor. The previous Mishnah says that Hashem waited 10 generations till he paid them back. This Mishnah doesn't say that, because Avram was different than Noah. Avram made the world a better place. If the world was in rapid decline, Avram Avinu changed the course of the tide. He changed the trend. Avraham Avinu was so good, he was so kind, that his goodness offset all the evil that was here. And so Avraham saved the world, and because of Avraham, the world did not have to undergo another huge natural disaster or unnatural disaster like the flood. But Noach couldn't do that. Because Noach was not on that level. Noach did not offset the evil that was being done in his day. And it's not because more evil was done, says Rabbeinu Yonah, but rather it is because Noach was less pious than Avraham. So that's tremendously insightful. We don't ordinarily think of the period between Noach and Avraham as being a period of moral decline. On the contrary, our sages say that the nations held on to the morality in the sense that they did not take one another's wives, they were careful in promiscuity. Sounds like the world had improved. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, perhaps that's why the Torah right after the flood tells us the story of the Tower of Babel. Maybe that's why the Torah is telling us that, to tell us that swiftly after the flood, humanity went into rapid decline again, and things got just as bad as they were before. And that seems to say, wait a second, what was the point of the flood? If that's what happened. But that's what Ben Yonah seems to say. He's saying, just like from Adam to Noach, there was a rapid decline, so too there was a rapid decline from Noach to Avram. V'natal, and that also puts Avram Avinu in a different light and Noach in a different light. It puts Avram Avinu in a different light because he's saying, when the Navi describes Avram as the light that shone from the east, when the Navi describes Avram as Eitanei Aretz, the strength of the land, we always understand it to be metaphoric. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not so metaphoric. He is the light, and he is the basis of the continued existence of the planet. The fact that natural disasters or unnatural disasters didn't happen in spite of the transgressions is simply a reflection of Avram's greatness.
How come Noah wasn't successful in, making generations while Avram was very successful, according to his understanding?
It seems that Avram's greatness was not in affecting the generation. Avram's greatness was in his own kindness. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying.
Because even though he did a tremendous amount, it seems when they went down to Egypt, it was just the family. Everybody else seemed to have reverted back.
Right.
So the lasting effects, I don't know. hard. It's hard to grasp the thing, you know. Also, you know, because things happen where people become more advanced, so even if the world has maybe more forces for good, a smaller group of forces get evil can affect so many terrible things. So you can say, wow, the world's worse now because you have, you know, all this technology, Shoah, they killed so many millions, and you were just butchering by hand, tired, you know, couldn't do it as much. So it's, but we don't, you're right, we think of the flood as where God totally just said that's it, and we don't think of that next 10 generations.
Not at all. The Torah doesn't say it even. We don't see in the Torah Kimala Aretz Hamas. We don't see Vayikub Ne'elkim Not Adam. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, we have to reread the stories from Noach to Abraham. And that's why I'm saying that the first story is the Tower of Babel. We did learn in the Ran that the Tower of Babel was a reflection of a desire at that time to appoint a paganistic leader, Nimrod, and ensure that monotheist Avram wouldn't have any refuge. Meaning the idea that the world united behind Nimrod, the idea that in the Tower of Babel, the Medrash says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, it took a year to reach the top of the tower. People were falling off the tower on their way up, and that was okay. But if a brick would fall, people were crying over it. So now we have to look at that in a different light. Yeah. So the footnoter here, I don't know who this Yosef Lekach is. He points out an interesting thought. He says, who's the Yosef Lekach? I don't know who it is. I think it's a present day. I think it's a grandson of Rav Zilber. So he writes that you see in the Talmud in Tractate Ksubos that there were tzaddikim, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. In their generation, there was no rainbow. It means they were good enough that the world did not merit being destroyed. The Gemara says it. What? The Gemara says. In the days of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, there was no rainbow. In the days of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there was no rainbow. So there were people who were so pious that the whole generation merited to be on a different level because of them. Not that they impacted the generation. They shifted the balance. That seems to be, he's quoting this as a source for the Rabbeinu Yonah. V'natal sachar kulam, Avraham Avinu came along and took the wages for everyone. V'af al pi shel kol adam yesh lahem chelek b'gan Eden v'chelek b'geinom. Im yizkeh yitol chelko b'gan Eden im nitchayev b'dino yitlenu b'geinom. Even though every person on an individual level is judged, what does that mean, Avraham Avinu took the wages of everyone? If a person has to have the Garden of Eden, he'll get it. If he's supposed to get a Gehenna, he'll get that. Aval ma'achar shekulam nitztavu lasot tova. But we're all commanded to be kind people, good people. And then you have a guy who doesn't, he's not a good person. He says, if one guy is a good guy and other people are not, so he's doing what other people should also be doing. He has to cover for other people. Well, logic dictates he should also get the rewards of the other people.
We have this concept of love above the game, 35 people sustain the world. Doesn't mean people don't get judged individually, but you still get merit, right? The guy who's on the beach in Tel Aviv having a barbecue Yom Kippur, you still get something from the rest of, no, the rest of Am Yisrael doing what we're doing. Doesn't mean that if he should know better, he's not judged. So this is not such a foreign concept. What
Well, what he's saying, though, is the Mishnah says that Avram got the wages for everyone. So that's, he's saying that the idea here is when one is covering for everyone else, so in Hebrew they have a term called friar. In English, I don't know the nice word for it, right? That's a not nice word for it.
Do not want to be friars. For some reason, it's a very strong thing. Okay, say, let someone in front of you.
So, but here, so Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us, you're never a friar. Meaning, if Avram Avinu is covering for what other people should be doing, then Avram's going to get the wages of other people. And that's why the Mishnah says he got the wages for everyone. So our sages explained, if you see a generation, that they're not working so hard on learning Torah, so then you asokba, you work hard in learning Torah. We're a generation where our intermarriage rate, they say, is over 50%. So we're definitely a generation that's not learning enough Torah. The simple reading of the pasuk is the time has come to do on behalf of Hashem. Midomelo, similar usage of the word la is when Avram tells his wife, "Imri li achi hu," say about me or on my behalf, I am your brother. So the term lasot la Hashem could also mean just like imri li. Imri li doesn't mean tell me. It means say about me or say on my behalf that I'm your brother. So to eit la'asot la'ashem, the time has come to do for Hashem. Heferu toratecha achar shekulam efrim tamud Torah. If you look around and everyone around you is not learning Torah, yoter yeshli la'asot b'shvil Hashem. So I have to do more. He says, eit la'asot la'ashem heferu toratecha. If when I look around, everyone else is not learning, then I have a greater responsibility to learn.
That's beautiful. It just seems almost overkill. And he gets the reward that was due for them. It's like Abraham needs extra reward. You know,
right.
It's
still an important concept, because again, it saves the friar concept. I'm not a friar.
Right. I mean, you know, that's so cultural. I'm worried about being a friar. It's close to me. You're right. No matter how lofty someone is, they have the human stuff. We learn that all the time in our next Rahamosa. So I mean, maybe it was somewhat motivational for Abraham. He had his days too, and he said, "Well, I bother with these people." You know,
I think also, you live in a world where you do nonstop kindness. I always wonder about there's Rav Machlis, right? So he had an open house for years. Everyone could show up and for a Shabbos meal. So I asked myself, how did he do that? How do you have 50, 70, 100 guests every Shabbat? How do you do that? 51 weeks a year, yeah? I didn't know if he ever took a break. I don't know. So part of the question is also, when you see people around you who are not doing it, does it frustrate you? When you have this concept, you're not losing anything. If they should be doing it, and they're not, so when you're doing it, you're getting their reward. Don't worry about it. It's not that they won you over. Back to our Rabbeinu Yonah. So Rabbeinu Yonah explains the pasuk, "Eit la'asot l'Hashem." The time has come to do on behalf of Hashem. Heferu Torah. When you see everyone else is not learning Torah, so then you have a greater responsibility in that generation to learn. אחר שכולם מפירים תמות תורה, יותר יש לי לעשות בשביל השם משאר הדורות שלך, ששלום לא תשתכח תורה מישראל. So then you have to take a responsibility to ensure Torah doesn't get lost from Israel. And we had an example of this in the last 70 years. after the Holocaust. So the Chazon Ish and then Rav Shach, they declared Eit La'asot Lashem. It's a unique time. What never before happened in Jewish history has to happen now. Right now, every Jew that can enter learning Torah should enter learning Torah. So they tried to get as many people as they could to be as learned as possible. They said after what we suffered in the Holocaust, the only way to keep the Jewish people going is a special Horat Shah. We're going to take the next half a century to work on rebuilding the world of Torah. And Rav Steinman said, okay, we're done. Now we got to go back to normalcy. The world has to shift back. The Horat Shah is over. But what was the idea? This Rabbeinu Yonah. There are times in Jewish history where a person has to recognize that there aren't enough people learning Torah. We have to learn more. Mashal lemelech shekol avadav bogedim bo, similar to a king whose servants are all rebelling against him. Chutz meechad shebehem, one remains faithful. Halo baoto zman tzarich lelecht imo beemet uvelevav shalem mishar hazmanim. That's the time where he has to be more careful, to be more faithful to the king. וגם כי כל ימיו יאהבנו המלך אהבה רבה והרבה מסת זה ממסת כולם. Even though they always have this loving relationship, yeah, but now's a time where it's more necessary if you're the only one. So this is a concept that we also have to remember. Rabbeinu Yonah came to give an example, but the example itself teaches us. So Rabbeinu Yonah is talking with regards to the Ribbon Shom. A person knows his whole family is non-observant. So he has a greater responsibility in his keeping the Torah. He has a greater responsibility in how he's raising his kids. Because look, everyone else isn't. I have to be the faithful one. But the concept goes further. We sometimes have people who are close to us who mess up. Sometimes it could be your spouse, it could be your best friend, it could be your sibling, and they do something terrible. A guy came to me this year. He said that his friend was reckless in driving and killed I don't know how many people. So he said the guy is in jail and I can't visit him. He's a murderer. So I said, you have to visit him. I want you to visit him this week. And he said to me, how could I visit him? I can't condone what he did. I said, how could you punish him? He's lost so much. His whole life has turned upside down. I can't imagine how his wife and children, how they're managing. So he's getting punished tenfold. You have to punish him? By what right are you punishing him? You're his friend. You have to be there for him. So he did something wrong. There's a problem that he did something wrong. It's not your job to punish him. You go visit him in jail. The guy refused. I said to him, you're doing this in the name of piety? What piety? He said, no, I can't. It's unethical. I can't support a guy who... What are you supporting? You're his friend. So now Rabbeinu Yonah's example teaches us also in our friendships that specifically he gave the example that when the king is down, when everyone else is turning on them, that's the moment when you have to be there for him. Well, the same concept exists in our relationships and our friendships also. Even though the guy might be dead wrong, excuse the pun, that doesn't mean I should punish him. On the contrary, that's when I have to step up to the plate and be there for him. No one else is. He's got problems. Okay, so I should be there for him.